live from the heart of Los Angeles, the at-home edition of The Life Changes.
Look out the bright lights. Look out the bright lights. We'll be swimming when we die.
Writer and director, Michael J. Saul.
Look out the night sky. Look out the night sky. Where the stars
and
have always
guests.
Shined.
I am Mark Leisure, and now our host, MC, a master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
I have been very excited about this episode that we've called Immerse Yourself in a World of Wonder. Doesn't that sound awesome? Doesn't that sound like maybe it should even be real life every day? Wouldn't that be amazing? Or at least I think it's amazing. And it's interesting that sometimes we look for entertainment, whether it's going to a big concert or going to a movie or going to a big theater event, and we see these experiences, we feel these experiences, and they can be wonderful. They can be filled with wonder. And we were so used to experiencing them in a certain way, whether we go to hear, we go to see the lights and it's out in front towards us, or, you know, however the screen's in front and all of that. What our world is becoming is more immersive. What we're looking for is to immerse ourselves, so many of us, more and more in experiences that we can feel good about. So many people talk about that. No matter what the entertainment is, we want to feel good within that experience and be able to share it with each other. And it's interesting. I heard a phrase recently that everything that we know about how we are entertained is about to change. And so to be talking to some of the people that are making those changes happen and why and how is starting to excite me. And I, having had some of these experiences, and we'll see, you'll see what we're talking about. What I'm seeing is, like, I can't wait to happen. I can't wait for it to happen, because I feel like, and many of us feel like, there's going to be a huge quantum leap, and it's going to not just change how we experience things like entertainment, but potentially how we experience ourselves, each other, and the world. And sounds like a big promise. I have a feeling it's even bigger than I can think of. And I can't wait to start that conversation with our guest, Michael J. Saul, and start talking about starting a big thing, Big Sky City Lights. I'll tell you why that's so exciting when we come back with our later on in the show with our musical guests, Big Sky City Lights, made up of Susan O'Day and Nick Spear, all on the Life Changes Show at Home edition when we come back right after this.
Have you felt inspired to meditate but you just can't? Do you suffer from anxiety but fidget toys just make you more fidgety? Want to replace negative self-talk in your head that keeps bringing you down? Introducing the latest self-help solution, Phi Beads. Transformational beaded jewelry inspired by ancient wisdom, science, math, and psychology. All Phi Beads are designed to incorporate the powerful Fibonacci sequence, nature's mathematical formula that has shaped our existence from the beginning of time. The Fibonacci sequence, also known as the golden mean or the golden ratio, is recognized by our conscious and unconscious mind and resonates as order out of chaos, like we see in plants, flowers, seashells, ocean waves, the pyramids, and in our own body. Not only beautiful, they feel good to wear. Phi beads can help anchor tranquility, positivity, focus, and structure in your life by doing the Phi meditation. Phi meditation helps you harness the power of I am for intention, affirmation, and manifestation. Affirm the life you want. Get your set of Phi Beads at PhiBeads.com. That's Phi, P-H-I, Beads.com. You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Vortex Dome LA on the BBS Radio Network with your host, the Master of Change, Filippo Voltaggio. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows on our archive page at LifeChangesShow.com. which include luminaries such as comedian Michael Collier, actress Gabriella Wright, performing artist James Hood, and author Ken Honda. Email your comments and questions to info@lifechangesnetwork.com or askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com. You can also comment via Twitter @LifeChangesShow and Facebook @TheLifeChangesShow.
This is the at-home edition of the Life Changes Show. I am host Filippo Voltaggio online with our producer and co-host, Mark LeJour.
I am excited for tonight's show and the topic. It's such a powerful conversation, and I think we're going to look back many years from now and recognize what the kind of time we are in and this shift from the idea of separate experiences to the togetherness of this new format. I can't wait to hear what Michael has to say.
You know, actually, we had the experience of getting to chat with Michael at Dome Fest West, and it felt like just the start of the conversation. This is going to be just a little bit more, and then we just need to experience what this man has created and is creating out there. He is a producer, a writer, and director, and so much more. Michael J. Saul, welcome to the Life Changes Show.
Thank you very much.
So I made some big statements about how entertainment as we know it is going to change and how we experience ourselves, the world, etc. And what's interesting is knowing a little bit about your background from where you started back in Ohio to here. Knowing a little piece of that story makes me think like you're one of the guys. Like you almost had to go through some of this or to know how to do this.
Yeah, well, it's definitely been a growing experience. I mean, I started out like so many kids in the 70s making 8mm films. And that's how I began, you know, but it was so attractive to me as an art form and in a way to tell stories. And at the time, it was very unusual. Now, of course, everybody is a filmmaker because they have their phone. But at the time, it was a fairly new thing for small, lightweight cameras, affordable cameras and film to be in people's hands. And it enjoyed, quite a period of time where we were able to tell our own stories, whether they were documentaries or personal stories or whatever. And so that growing process started there and then followed me all the way to California and through all of the things I've done over the past 20, 25 years to this moment. But I could, you know, never have thought that this would be the line that I would follow.
And some of your personal experiences and the stories that you have felt have needed to be shared in the recent past in your career, you have come to learn story and how it affects people and bringing community together, understanding each other more, right?
Yeah, I mean, growing up, as a gay teen, I had stories that I wanted to tell that I thought were unusual and different from everyone else around me. And that was a real growing experience. But then as a professional, I told those same stories to people when they're seen in film festivals and they're out in distribution, people can see them. But the amazing thing that I've experienced in that is how many other people out there have had the same experience as I had. And when they see themselves reflected on the screen, like any group of people, when you see yourself on the screen, it not only validates who you are in society, but it also gives you power. And to acknowledge those stories and to say, oh, I had that same experience and it affected me in this way and that sort of thing. So that's what I've done in my own personal work, but that's in a way what we're doing now as well with the, with the 360 experiences.
So how, so is in a way what you're doing now, and yet this new experience, like we'll talk about Mesmerica and then Beautifica, but Mesmerica, mm-hmm. as an example, before everything shut down, was really a pioneer. And I have to say, you mentioned, you know, growing up in the 70s, I have to say that I had an experience like I haven't had since I was a kid that I recall, where the whole family would get together and watch TV as a family. And this felt like the whole family. As a matter of fact, when I went to go see Mesmerica, there were whole families there. And it wasn't like a kid's thing. It was like an everybody thing.
Yeah, I think it is. I think everybody who goes into that experience, that immersive experience, comes out with something else. The kids might think, wow, that's really cool. The graphics were really cool, or flying through things is really cool. But their parents may come out with some very deep rooted experiences that they, they connect to their own lives in some way. And that's what's really interesting. And in a way, for me, being new to this medium at that time was really surprising. I didn't expect it to be that powerful.
You know, that's why I said at the beginning, Paul, I think like why you're one of the guys is that you didn't say, oh, I'm going to do this amazing thing with this media. You were telling a story like you have learned to tell story and bring people together, etc. And it just so happened that this was available now. At the time, you had the camera in your hand, 8mm. Right now, you have this, but your experience of being able to tell the story has expanded.
Right. I think, you know, all of the techniques and the things that I've studied and worked on and honed over the years really come into play in this medium, because editing is very important. Animation, of course, is important, but it all has to serve the ultimate experience in some way. And although we're not always telling a story in a classic way, we're helping, I think, the audience to create their own story in a way, where a lot of it is very suggestive, and people come out with very different feelings, as a result, based on their own experiences, as I said, or what mood they're in at the time, and most of them find it very freeing, very relaxing, very creative, inspires people to go off and do things that, pursue projects that they never thought they could. I think it's a very freeing experience. And that's what's really powerful about the medium, I think.
It's expanding for sure of the mind and the possibilities, as you're saying. I experienced that. And the words that I'm hearing, we used it in the title, wonder. We're hearing awe. And these are not the usual words that one can necessarily say about a screen experience, or even a big screen experience, or maybe when the holograms started to, that whole, the laser thing, there was a touch of that. Mm-hmm. But this is 360 of that and more.
Right. So it is a completely immersive experience. It's basically sitting in a 360 dome or a planetarium, depending on the theater experience, and letting this film surround you, and really encase you. So you're really in it. You're living it. And that's what's so powerful and so different about it. It's not really about come and see, your favorite character, get into another wacky situation. It's really about the music, James Hood's music, which is so beautiful and just surrounds you and takes you on a journey, even without the images, quite frankly. And he's been doing this for a lot longer than we've been making films about it. But the two together, the connection between the images and the music, is what really you know, just fills your senses. All of your senses are there. You can feel the music. You can see the music in a way, in a visual way. And it's and from a technical standpoint, it's very high quality. The sound is in 7.1 surround sound, and so it really is like this living experience that you're in for an hour. And so it can't help but influence you in some way and make you feel something, I think.
You know, you said something that in the past 10 years, in part because of some of your personal life experiences and in part because of your career experiences with having met James Wood and all of what we're talking about here, the technology, et cetera, that you've experienced more change, talk about life changes, in the last 10 years than you have over the first however many decades, right? That to me was so powerful because I have a feeling that potentially in the next five, you'll be able to say that again with how fast things are moving. And you're on the forefront of that in so many ways.
Yeah, no, it's true. I was in many ways, I was educated and raised to be an artist, but I was also raised in a family that felt you had to go out and get a real job, you know, and stay in that real job and then retire from that real job and, you know, that whole sort of thing. And I did that, actually. I did that for about 23 years, and I had a very good job. It was in media, and it was with a nonprofit, and creating videos and graphic design and all that sort of thing. And it was a very good job. And I had an opportunity to learn a lot of things that I might never have learned otherwise. But once they scaled down and I basically lost my job, I was kind of set adrift in a place that I really wanted to be anyway. I wanted to be an independent filmmaker. I wanted to be a freelancer. I wanted to do that. I just never had the courage to do it before. And so it sort of set me out on this journey. Part of which was very soon after that was meeting James and his whole clan of people who were, you know, really out to create an experience like this. And it was really in development at that point. And that's when I was able to jump in, and that completely changed my life. And so, the past 10 years or so of knowing him and working with him has been a life-changing experience in a lot of ways.
So there are a lot of younger people who today can start doing, in a sense, some of what you're doing right now, and they're starting at a younger age. Of course, they don't have the other experiences that you do. And so I'm excited about the fact that knowing your demeanor and you, the some of what we talked about, that you're probably a mentor already. And just in what you're saying, I could just hear people saying, I could do that, or that sounds like the thing for me. Do you know what I'm saying? So thank you for putting it out there. And I could just see you supporting people that are getting started. And it doesn't have to be younger people. For that matter, kudos to those who have been in the industry for many years and say, what new technology? I'm interested. Right. Tell me about it. What can I bring to the party?
Well, there are a lot of pioneers, most of the pioneers that I know of that are in the 360 industry are older people. Some of them have been through Hollywood and been through many other industries. Atlance is at the forefront of this industry. We've learned so much from him. He's the one who really told us in the first place, you can do this, you can make this show, you can get it out there into the world, people will want to see it. And it was hard to believe this at first, you know. And it really took all hands on deck and his mentorship, really. He and Kate McCallum, who are just, you know, the cheerleaders for this medium, to really give us permission was really what it was. And we just sort of went out there and did it. And to our disbelief, it was very well received. But yeah, I mean, I was very lucky to have wonderful mentors when I was growing up. And I'm a big believer in that. I think it's, you can go to school and learn a whole lot of things that are important. But at the end of the day, you really need someone to show you the way to do it every day in real life situations. And so I have been a mentor to a number of people over the years, and I really, really enjoy that because there are younger people and people of all ages who really hunger for some sort of life change or some sort of something that will transport them into the place that they've always felt they should be, or want to try and just see if it's where they want to be. I feel we live in an age now where we can do that more easily. But you still, it's always helpful to have another person who says, yeah, you know, try this or try that, and don't be afraid of this, and don't be afraid of that. Because that's really what a lot of it is about, fear and the unknown and that sort of thing. So I think that's very important.
You know, Michael, I experienced Mesmerica. I can't wait to experience Beautifica, which is coming out in domes near you. Near all of us in 2022. I have to say there were those words. There was wonder, there was awe, there was a childlike feel. And I didn't know you at the time. I don't remember if I had met James Hood yet. Certainly knew Ed and Kate. But I was hoping that those people who did this, I hope that they had as much fun creating this, and I know it's a lot of work, but when you say Ed and Kate and Ed inspired you, he almost inspired you to play, but please tell me you did play. Did you play on the way, or did you play your hair out?
Well, a little bit of both, but you know, I mean, it is that sort of, when you're working with technology, there's a lot of hair pulling. But the thing I love about it is when I started out in filmmaking, I've said this to other people, there was much more of an experimental life out there for those of us who really wanted to put out experimental films that didn't necessarily have a story, didn't really stick to the conventions of movie making. And film festivals at that time, I'm talking about the 70s, 80s, even 90s, were much more open to experimental film. Excuse me, they're less so now. But the Dome, however, is just a perfect place for experimental filmmakers. And at Dome Fest West, there were a lot of experimental short films, and they were just so inspiring and so interesting. And I think that's the new frontier for experimentation right now, which I think is so important, because it is about playing. It is about playing. It isn't about making something that's tried and true. There's a business for that, and that's what that is. But the art form of film and media, and certainly of 360 and VR, is really about experimentation. And I think there's an audience for that. So,
You inspired me to think about something that I haven't had a chance to go deep in. So I'm just going to ask you for a little bit more help with this. You said... Mm-hmm. As a storyteller, as a filmmaker, I try to remember what hat you were wearing when you said this, that you hate endings. And I thought, oh, wow, that is like so deep. What do I do with this? Because I think I asked you, how does that apply to life? And and so give me a little bit more to work with.
Well, I found as a filmmaker, the films that inspired me the most, and the films indeed that I go back and watch again and again and again and again, are films with non-traditional storytelling elements. So they're not the standard three-act storytelling convention. So the best example I can give you was the one that inspired me and in fact an entire generation of filmmakers, and is still inspiring filmmakers to make films, and that was 2001: A Space Odyssey. Very unconventional storytelling, which is why a lot of people either love it or hate it. The people who love it because we're constantly reliving it and experiencing it over and over again and finding new things about it that we didn't think about 10 years ago when we watched it. And most of the films that I watch like that don't have conventional endings. So that really attracted me to making films that way. A lot of films that I make don't have conventional endings. A lot of times I do films that are, you know, a combination of short films, which I love short form filmmaking. And they leave you with more questions than answers. And I really like that because then I'm thinking about the film. I'm thinking about it afterward. I'm thinking about it on the way home. And sometimes I'm thinking about it years later. So the films of Kubrick and his ilk, you know what I mean? They are all like that in a certain way where they don't always answer your questions, but you're always interested in watching it again because you know that there's something new to discover about it.
And you're a different person the next time you watch it.
Yeah, but you know, I also think that you bring new things to it with age. You see things differently. You have different answers to your own questions, and so I think that has a lot to do with it. Terrence Malick is another director who makes a lot of films like that, The Tree of Life, for instance, where it's very experimental, but it's in a big movie theater. You know, so there is an audience for those films. Unlike, you know, what I think a lot of Hollywood would say, oh, no, that's too esoteric, or it's just nobody's going to go to see that. There is. It's not a, probably not a huge audience of people who like them, but it's such an important part of film art as opposed to film commerce. And there's nothing wrong with the other. It's just, it's not for me. It's, I'm much more interested in telling stories and giving people something to think about and to look at and experience.
You know, and speaking of audiences and commerciality of films, I recognize that not everybody knows the name Mesmerica, and it's sad in a way because within just a year, Mesmerica had grown to so many planetariums and domes throughout the world, especially this country, but the world. And already there were so many more scheduled to be opened when everything shut down that by now, if it had continued, I would tend to think most of our audience would know what Mesmerica was. That's the momentum that was building. So it's sad and exciting to be having this conversation at the beginning of Beautifica, when that's going to come out at a time that I trust more of us are going to want to come out and see the film and experience the experience. So when we come back, Michael, if you will tell us, just we'll just have a couple minutes, but if you could tell us what Mesmerica is coming back out, so what they'll see in that, what they'll see in Beautifica. I heard that there was something else, but I don't know if we're supposed to talk about that or not. But if we are, then you can mention that. And if not, forget I said so. So when we come back, we'll be talking with Michael Saul. And by the way, Michael Saul is a website where you can learn more about him as a filmmaker and a mentor, and learn about not only his films, but his awards. And as a matter of fact, Beautifica just won an award. We can talk about that too. So Michael Saul, Saul is SAUL.com. You'll find him on Instagram at Michael Saul Film. And on the Life Changes website, we have so many links to various trailers of his films, including James Hood's Mesmerica. So we'll be coming back to talk for a couple more minutes with Michael Saul. And afterwards, we have our Ask Dorothy segment. And then joining us as a new musical duo is Big Sky City Lights, made up of Susan O'Day and Nick Spear. And what a story they got. Talk about life changes, all on the Life Changes Show at Home Edition right after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and the little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show, live from Vortex Dome LA, with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online at lifechangesshow.com, via Twitter at Life Changes Show, and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. I am Filippo, and we've been talking with Michael J. Saul, who's a producer, a writer, and director, and so much more. An experience happening that's coming back to a dome near you, a full dome experience. Michael Saul, tell us about Mesmerica and Beautifica.
Well, Mesmerica is a 360 dome show, which plays primarily in planetariums and was before COVID. I think we were in 27 cities or so before COVID hit us. But and it is an experience. It is about well-being. It is about helping to relax the audience into a sense of their ability to really stop thinking and experiencing the music of James Hood and experiencing the visuals of myself and artists all over the world. And it's hard to describe other than that, but it was very, very popular before we all got shut down, and it will be coming back to domes. The plan is after the first of the year, and then the next show that we produced is called Beautifica, and it has not been released yet. So that will come out probably in the spring of 2022. Although this is all up to, you know, how things continue to open up as we move forward, but that's our plan. And we're hoping that happens, because Mesmerica was very, very popular, and it was extremely exciting to see so many people come to see the show and enjoy it and bring their friends and family. And so we're really looking forward to them coming back into the world.
How is Beautifica, for those of us who do know Mesmerica, how is Beautifica different?
Well, Beautifica sort of takes the next step in helping us to understand the beauty around us and how we can fully appreciate the beauty of life. And it's a message that's so important right now. We've spent all of this time dealing with COVID and all of the other social issues surrounding that. I think it's such an important thing to say to people, look around you, look to the person next to you, really feel your life and understand how important it is and how important it is to live it to the way you want to. And we almost have this sort of rebirth that's happening now. And I think people will understand that if they don't think about it consciously. I think seeing a show like Beautifica is, I think, going to help them realize the beauty that surrounds them every single day. And it's really important message, I think, right now.
And the message and the feeling that one gets, and like we were saying, definitely nothing wrong with woo-woo. I like woo-woo a lot, but I didn't experience any woo-woo in Mesmerica. And I had heard this kind of talk, right? So I'm like, okay, I like that kind of thing. But there was no woo-woo as far as I'm concerned. It was just like, ah.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, no, it is. There's no religious thing associated with it. There's nothing but particularly specifically spiritual about it. It really is about coming together and letting yourself go and enjoying the music and the visuals. And some people have an experience and some people don't, but they love it. In any case, whatever angle they absorb it from. And that's what's really exciting about it.
Well, Michael, thank you for sharing with us and bringing this art form along with the whole team, of course, and James Hood and all the artists. And it is exciting, and it feels like it's just the beginning within this particular field. So much more exciting things to come, for sure.
Yes, I hope so. Thank you very much for having me. I really enjoyed it.
It was a pleasure having spoken with you and gotten to know you better. And thank you for sharing as you have. Michael Saul, SAUL.com, if you want to learn more about him and his films. And also, we should probably give James Hood's website. Do you have it right off the top of your head?
I do believe it's jameshood.com, but
okay.
Let's go look. Let's see. Yes, jameshood.com.
Okay. That's HOOD, jameshood.com. Yes. Michael, thank you so much. Looking forward to connecting more in the future.
Same here. Thanks so much.
All the best to you. And with that is our Ask Dorothy segment.
Dear Dorothy, this is Wanda from Key West, Florida. I've been married for 10 years and have finally discovered that it has been an emotionally abusive relationship. My husband fights with me over everything and always has. And when we go shopping, I want to buy something that I think would be lovely in our home. He says no. If I want to watch a particular series, he insists that we watch something else. If I say I like a new friend and want to have her over, he says no. These are just a few of the examples I could give. I have given in to him over and over because that has been easier than to insist that we do what I want. I've tried many times to get him to agree to see a marriage counselor, and he refuses and says that there is nothing wrong. I have decided to file for divorce, and so many of my family members and friends think I've lost my mind and are begging me to reconsider. How do I convince them that this is absolutely the most positive thing I can do for myself?
Dear Wanda, I understand how you feel. I stayed married for way too long under similar circumstances, and my family did their best to talk me out of a divorce. They knew all of the details, and some knew even more of the negative things my husband was involved in than I knew, and they still insisted that I stay married. I thank God for my family doctor's intervention that helped set me free. There are still many people who believe I made a mistake, and it has been over 50 years since my divorce. Therefore, I can't help you convince anyone of your reasons for wanting to leave your marriage, because I still haven't been able to convince many that my divorce was absolutely the best choice for me. My question for you is why you believe you need their approval. Is it because you are unsure of your decision? If this is the reason, then I highly suggest that you see a marriage counselor or life coach and work through your issues regarding your marriage. In fact, I believe seeing a professional to discuss your choice is the most positive step you can make for yourself. I trust that you will find the perfect person to help you make this life-changing decision.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at AskDorothy@LifeChangesShow.com.
And we'll be right back with our musical guests, Big Sky City Lights, made up of Susan O'Day and Nick Spear on the Life Changes Show at Home Edition right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, LifeChangesNetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@LifeChangesNetwork.com.
I am Filippo, and I am officially very excited to be introducing our musical guest today, made up of Susan O'Day, singer-songwriter, and singer-songwriter-guitarist Nick Spear. Welcome to the show, Big Sky City Lights.
Thank you so much.
Hi. So I have to say real quick. So first of all, big thank you to Tess Cacciatore, who heard from a mutual acquaintance of all of yours, I guess, Paula. I don't know Paula's last name.
Paula.
Greenstein.
Yes, exactly. Her. And so and Tess sends me this video, and it just stopped me in my tracks. And we're going to talk about that in a moment. And I said, yes, yes, yes. And then Dorothy and then Mark. And then it was just like this domino effect. And I am so excited that you're here, especially knowing that one of you, I don't know if I'm supposed to say or not, is on honeymoon.
Yes, I am. Yes.
Susan O'Day, congratulations.
Thank you.
So the way I heard it, I thought you lived in Hawaii. Then I found out maybe you were on vacation, and it's like, no, it's her honeymoon. Okay, so Nick shared with us that in the middle of all of this, Nick, you take it from there.
Oh, in the middle of where are we? Are we rewinding back to 2020?
Yes. Yeah, okay. Way back to 2020.
Yeah. So Susan, who's a dear friend and I've known for years, was going crazy in her apartment in New York City and said, hey, do you want to record like a song remotely and then send it to me, or I can start and send it to you, and then we can put it out on social media because I'm going crazy. Mm-hmm. And I said, I'm in Montana. And I said, yeah. And so I laid down the guitar part and the lower harmony part of Closer to Fine. And I sent her
I sent her the recording, and then she sang along and filmed herself, and then we slammed the two things together in a side-by-side of me singing in my closet and Susan singing in her bathtub. She can tell you why. and we put it out on social media, and the reaction was overwhelmingly positive, and a lot of people were looking for something to look forward to, you know, in the lockdown, and we were kind of compelled to keep doing it, and it turned into this weekly drop every Friday, and then eventually we were in the same place, and then we wrote an album and created an album, and then played music festivals and got on Good Morning America, and we just found ourselves in this shocking, weird, accidental band. And so here we are.
So, Susan, since Nick set it up so beautifully, why were you in the bathroom?
Well, basically, I was, you know, quarantined in a one-bedroom apartment in New York with my partner, who works in finance. So he, I guess my husband now. That's right.
You can see that now.
She said it the first time on radio. Congrats.
Thank you. So he was doing his work and his job, and he was having meetings all day, and I was recording music and, you know, trying to stay creative and busy. And the bathroom was on the other side of the apartment, and it was the only place that didn't have a radiator and was like furthest from the street. So anytime I wanted to record, I would go in there to record. And so when Nick and I started this project, I just like parked myself in that bathtub, and I was like, this is what's happening. And I put my microphone on a box of tampons, and the rest is history.
There it is.
Oh, you threw me, because I was trying to picture why the radiator was important. And then I remember being in New York apartments, they ping and they make sounds, right?
Oh, so loud. Yeah.
Tick, 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 tick. Hiss. Yes. Ping. Yeah.
And so the box of tampons. Okay, the story just gets better. Actually, so before we hear one of the songs, your band name.
Yes.
Yes.
So
yes.
We decided, I guess, you know, like halfway through this project, because of the overwhelming response we were getting, and the fact that, you know, what I think is beautiful about it is that we were kind of in our own little ruts and just kind of going through the motions with what we were doing. For ourselves artistically, and so having this opportunity to kind of just everything stopping and being able to really refocus and do something creative opened up a world for Nick and I that we didn't know was there. And so when Nick was like, we should just make this a band, and we started tossing around names, we ended up on Big Sky City Lights, because it's kind of a convergence of the two of us. I would sit on my balcony and watch the city lights every night and just sing to myself there. And Nick was in Big Sky Country doing the same thing. Mm. So that's where it came from.
I love it. Okay. Well, what are we going to get to hear first? What do you
think? I don't know. What do you have first? I don't know.
Well, you tell us. We definitely, thankfully, you sent us Wake Me. And we definitely want to play that, but do you think that should be first or second?
I think that should be second, just because, let's do it first.
Wait, yeah, what first? Is Susan saying yeah to?
Second. Oh, she says second. Yeah, second. Okay. We'll do it second. So the first thing we're going to do here is, called Your Name, which when we started writing together, Susan said, hey, have you ever tried writing a song from a female point of view? And I said, oh, no, but let me try. And I had a little tagline that I kind of liked. And so I wrote something down and I presented it to her. And she said, is this how you think women think?
Oh, wow.
Which was really funny. And so it started from there. But it's basically from, and then we knocked it around and bent it out of shape and back into shape till it made sense together. And it's basically from the point of view of a person looking at another person in a bar and saying, I don't even know your name, but you're already breaking my heart.
Oh, okay.
Well, since Nick is in Big Sky Country, and actually Susan isn't in City Lights Country right now. She's more like in Aloha Country.
She's like Lava Country.
Lava Country. So since they're in two different places, they couldn't do live this time on the show. So we've got their song, Your Name, pre-recorded. Here we go.
Got a honey sweet smile and impeccable style. You're walking, talking, work alive. I don't even know your name and you're breaking my heart. I don't even know your name and you're breaking my heart. When I look in your eyes, it's like I'm falling through sky. I'm dizzy and I haven't drunk a drop. Whatever you're doing to me, baby, please don't stop.
Indie folk duo Big Sky City Lights and their song Your Name, and their name, Susan O'Day and Nick Spear. Learn more about them at BigSkyCityLights.com. Actually, they both have web pages of their own. You can find them on Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon. They're all over and will be even more places, I am sure. Excited for the two of you. I have a question. Interesting, Susan, you're in Hawaii right now. I know you're Americana and a little folk, and that sounded a little Hawaiian to me.
You know, right? Honestly, it was like we both just listened to it now and we thought the same thing. We're like, wow, it's so... The irony is there.
Wow. I literally just texted her in the middle of that, saying, this sounds really Hawaiian. That's really strange. It's like we knew.
So funny. Okay, so Wake Me. Now, is the full title Wake Me When We Get There?
That's the title of the album. The title of the song itself is Wake Me.
Ah, okay. So there's an album. That's the one that you worked on together when you finally got together. By the way, some of your photography, I mean, there's so much you're doing right.
Thank you.
Wow.
Chance Jackson, he's an amazing photographer. But wow. He got us out to Glacier.
And wonderful.
That was such an awesome shoot.
Yeah, wow. Okay, and I'm waiting for the City Lights shoot next. I'm just saying.
I know, it's got to be next.
Yeah, right? Okay, so tell us about... So you kind of already told us about Wake Me. Anything else you want to share?
About the song itself?
Yeah. Or anything, how are you doing?
just that we got to the end of writing the album and we really went... Susan said, we really need, shouldn't we do something that really addresses this pandemic, this lockdown we're in? And I was like, no, I don't think so. and then a couple of days later, I was like, okay, here, let's try this.
And you wrote the words, Susan, or did you write them first? How did
we both write everything, but Nick had the first draft of this. And it was after like a conversation that turned into a bit of a argument about whether we need to address what's happening or not. And so when he's like after defending his point, you know, a couple of days later, I got the first draft of the song and it, you know, brought me to tears. And since then it's just been an effortless piece to sort of put together. And so I think we're both really super proud of this and we believe in the words a lot.
Well, I'm glad to hear it brought you to tears, so I'm not the only one. I'm proud to say it because, this moment, but also it kind of spoke to me about so many moments in our lives when we were going through something, right? I mean, it's big in so many different ways, and we just want to get there, want to get on the other side of it. So it just brought a lot home, and I think it will for a lot of people. So happy to be sharing with our audience Big Sky City Lights song Wake Me from their album Wake Me When We Get There.
Will you wake me when the year is done? I guess we're surviving, always arriving at who we're meant to be. Time keeps on drumming, constantly. Did they shoot the lights out in the park? What if this silence never ceases? Will we find our way in the dark?
Said it all.
Wow. Big Sky City Lights with their song Wake Me, Susan O'Day and Nick Spear. Find them on Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon, wherever music is nowadays. BigSkyCityLights.com is their website. Big Sky City Lights. Wow. Did it again. So thank you. I have a kind of a fun question. So that video, and we have it up on our webpage, actually. Great video. Was it that cold in there?
Yeah, I think it was 19 degrees.
Yes. Holy moly.
Well, so Susan cold. Has the best part of that story.
Okay, I was so cold that we brought a propane heater. Well, our cameraman did, and I thought it was a brilliant idea to put my chair on top of the propane heater.
A copper chair.
So I was like, well, at least my chair will be warm. But I'd only ever done other heaters, not propane. So it got so hot that I actually ended up burning my butt.
Oh no.
So we're very cold, but not her butt.
But not her butt. Oh.
I mean, I seriously burnt it. It was pretty funny.
Oh no, gosh! But what? But you know, for the sake of art, you got
the things we do.
The things, you know. Wow. Well,
I do it again.
Is your butt fine?
It's better. Thank you for asking.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, The two of you, this has been so special, and what a great story. Thank you for sharing that. I can't wait to hear more stories, more beautiful songs from the two of you. Big Sky City Lights, remember that, folks. And once again, Susan O'Day and Nick Spear, thank you so much. What a pleasure.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
And with that, that is our show. With a big thank you also to Michael J. Saul, our guest. I am just thrilled that this has happened today. A big thank you again to Tess Cacciatore and to Doug Newsom at BBS Radio. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our producer and co-host, Mark Legere, I am your host, reminding you that as your life changes and your energy and vibration increases, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at the Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.